Fun stuff. Rough stuff. I just had a strawberry smoothie. This was strawberry and banana smoothie, and I feel a bit sick. I put too many strawberries in there. All right, there was too many strawberries in there. And I feel the feeling that you get when you have too many strawberries in your stomach. That's what I got right now. But it's pretty bad. But I will admit, it's not as bad as the people of Hiroshima experienced on this day, August 6th. A while ago, 78 years ago today, the people of Hiroshima were having a different kind of pain. A lot of them were now shadows on the ground. They were wiped out, incinerated by a nuclear explosion. I didn't go to Hiroshima when I was in Japan. The two times I've been to Japan so far, I didn't go to Hiroshima on either of them. My first trip to Japan, 3 months. I decided to stay 1 month in Fukuoka, 1 month in Osaka, and 1 month in Tokyo. And I went through, you know, the area of Hiroshima on a bus, on the highway bus from Fukuoka to Osaka. Yeah, and I did consider going to Hiroshima the first time I went to Japan. The second time I went to Japan, it was 2 weeks in Tokyo before I went to Taiwan, go back into Taiwan. And I was in Tokyo to see about my visa after being banned for a year from Taiwan. The first time I was thinking about going to Hiroshima. And I will be going on my next trip to Japan. I have planned already my next trip to Japan, and I will be going to Hiroshima on that trip, and I'm looking forward. It's crazy that was less than 10 years ago. Less than 10 years ago, I was in Japan, my first trip to Japan on the 3-year mega journey. It doesn't really feel like 10 years. It feels like longer. I have done, you know, so much in that time period, and it doesn't feel like that's what 10 years is. It feels like that could be 20 years, 30 years. You know, it's not even 10 years yet. You got to do a lot of stuff, and you got to travel a lot. If you want life and the years in your life to seem like they're longer, then do a lot of stuff and travel a lot, you know. Travel is one of the best ways to get more out of time itself, you know, to really manipulate time in that way. Because if I didn't know how long ago it was and I were to guess, I mean, I'm not sure what I would guess, but I definitely wouldn't guess 10 years. It would definitely be more than 10 years, you know. But at the same time, the memories, you know, everything there, it's still in my head, and I still remember it extremely well, you know, and I can still go back into that period of my life very easily, but it feels like longer. It really does. Anyway, I'm starting to feel better now. I am. The strawberries in my stomach, they're digesting with the banana. I had some banana with it as well. It was a very tasty smoothie. But I put 173 grams of strawberries in this smoothie. It's a bit too much. Okay. 100 to 150? I think it's better when it comes to strawberries. 173, it's too much. It's too much. Okay. The thing with... Alright, let's get to it. Let's decide if Harry Truman was correct to kill all these Japanese people in an instant and to severely disable, you know, many more of them. Look, the short answer is yes, it was correct for Harry Truman to kill all those Japanese people. It was. Was it the correct way of going about it? Like, did you have to target civilians in that way? Mostly it was civilians that died. Many more civilians died compared to anyone in the military. But really, I mean, those civilians, most of them, they were fucking soldiers at that point. It was total war. And if you read about Operation Downfall, which was coming, Operation Downfall was coming at the end of the year. It was going to be there, probably one of the most devastating situations this planet has ever experienced. And that's not an understatement. It really isn't. Go read about Operation Downfall. It's fucking incredible. It's incredible. And it would have rivaled, and I think it would have gone beyond anything that happened in Europe. You know, I think it would have gone beyond the invasion of Europe by the Allies in terms of casualties, in terms of just the gruesome reality that would have happened on the Japanese home islands. It would have been one of the worst, like, fucking concentrated periods for humanity in the history of humanity. The amount of fucking blood that would have been shed. And people seem to think, like, oh yeah, the Allies would have won that. It would have been tough. Many people would have died. But the Allies would have walked it eventually. They wouldn't have walked it. It would have been really fucking tough. But eventually, there would be a point at the end where, like, yeah, they're walking it. It's done. But I don't think so. I don't think so. Because without those nuclear weapons, without the destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, without that being shown to the Japanese and under a conventional fucking reality, conventional warfare, I don't think the Japanese give up until, like, there's half of a fucking finger in some field in central Japan. You know? And it's fucking still wiggling. It's still wiggling. And it's coming. They wouldn't have given up. They wouldn't have given up. They would have fucking fought. They wouldn't have given up. They would have fought to the last woman. The last child. The last fucking fetus. The last fucking fetus. The last fucking sperm. The last fucking egg. They would have fought the whole way through, man. 28 million people. The Japanese had. They were basically like in their home reserve kind of thing. They would have had 28 million people who were armed with old guns, with bats, with swords, with anything they could get their fucking hands on. Men, women, and children. And that 28 million isn't even like the number beyond that. There would have been a number. We would have been the whole population. That 28 million is just the people who have been like, okay, you're definitely going to fight when they come. Yeah, I know you're not in the army. I know you're not in the military. But you're going to fight when those British come. When those Americans come. When those fucking Australians come. When they come, you fight. All right? Canadian coming, you're fighting. It would have been far beyond that. It would have been the whole population. And it would have only been a million plus. Maybe they would have, it would have pushed up to, you know, a few million invading Allied soldiers. But fucking hell, man. That, even with superior equipment, even with all the planning that would have gone into it. No. This is going to be not just months, I think years. And I think it could have reached a stalemate. I think it could have reached a stalemate, and it could have reached a point where, you know, so many, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of Allied troops had died. And the Japanese, you know, millions of civilians, millions of their military have died, but they're still fucking in there, man. They're still defending their islands. And there was a propaganda campaign in a similar vein to the, you know, keep calm and carry on that the British had. Their fucking propaganda campaign, okay, wasn't keep calm and carry on. It was 100 million of us are going to die. 100 million of us are going to die, and you're going to be happy about that. You're going to be fucking happy about that. We are going to die on these islands. If they want the fucking bull, they're going to have to fucking kill us. That's what it was. And that's the way it would have been. If it wasn't for those nuclear weapons, I don't see Japan surrendering at all. There wouldn't even have been... You take Tokyo. Look, if you take Kyushu, if you take Fukuoka, if you take fucking Hiroshima, you take Osaka, you take fucking Tokyo, you take all of Hokkaido, there would have been these pockets spread out throughout Japan, still with millions and millions and millions and millions of Japanese people who were determined to kill the people that have come to their islands to take them over. I think that would have been the reality. And without the horror, without that kind of definitive, we have the thing that can destroy you from the sky and is fucking magic, and we don't have to really lose any soldiers, we don't have to lose any civilians, we can just drop one bomb from the sky and destroy a city. Okay? We're going to make some more as well. We're going to make fucking hundreds of these things. And we're going to drop them all over Japan. And you're never going to fucking know. All you're going to fucking know is when you see the fucking flash. Double flash. And you're done. And you don't even know you're done a lot of times. And all the people fucking seeing the flash, they're going to be done too. Alright, but it's going to take longer. It's going to take a bit longer. And we're going to cover the Japanese islands, you know, in these bombs. Destroy them completely. Nuclear fucking wasteland. Magic. Those two bombings were the only fucking thing that stopped that reality. And I'm going to depart from everyone else here, I think. I think most people, alright, these most people, they're going on the wrong fucking street. They're going on a side street, and they're getting lost. I tell you, because I'm saying this now. I think the Japanese could well have won. I think they could have fucking beaten the Allies. The Allies would have done a lot. They would have taken some of Kyushu. They would have taken southern Kyushu, perhaps, if they did decide, as was planned originally, to go in and take the southern third of the island. I think they might have well taken Tokyo. They could have taken the plane. They could have taken some, you know, large chunks out of Japan. But they're not taking all of Japan. And Japan's not surrendering. Okay, they're fucking stuffing the emperor into a box, and they're taking him on tour all across the country. Okay, I don't think they lose. I think they lose after 30 years and, you know, 20, 30 million American dead, Allied soldiers, fucking tens of millions of British dead. Half of Australia's dead. Canada's dead. They're all fucking dead. They had to bring the Indians. The Indians. Which originally they didn't want to bring the Indians in. Okay. But they would have brought the Indians in. And it would have been basically... It would have been the World War of Japan. That's what it would have been. It would have been World War Japan. It would no longer be World War II. It would be... This is World War Japan now. And... they could have won. Like, it would all depend on who fucking gave up first. And the mentality of the Japanese at that time, the insanity in their brains, the fanatical ways about them. If the emperor didn't fold, the government didn't fold, they would still fight. They would. Look, it would have been years. It would have been tens of millions dead, not millions. Like the estimates were like, oh, 500,000 to a million American troops dead. No, 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 no. And millions of Japanese dead. No, 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 no. It would have been tens of millions dead. It would have been amazing. So look, Harry Truman, I don't think he gave a fuck about anything other than his own legacy. And I think he thought it was cool that he got to be the guy that you know, that authorized the first use of nuclear weapons. But take Harry Truman out of it. And look, Harry Truman, he did reject the use of chemical weapons. They were going to use chemical weapons against the Japanese on a large scale. That was one thing put forward. And he rejected that. You know, they were still considering maybe using it against the crops and starving the Japanese. But he rejected using chemical weapons, you know, on a large scale against the Japanese population. So maybe little Harry Truman, he did have a heart, you know. You know, maybe he really was a thinking individual who had emotions as well. Look, he made the right decision in terms of dropping the bombs. And yes, there's other things that go into it. Yes, he was trying to show the Soviets, look what I got. Look what I fucking got, bitch. And he was preventing Japan, you know, because the Soviets were going to invade Japan as well. And it might have been a situation similar in Europe where the Soviets get some of Japan, likely a lot of northern Japan, Hokkaido, maybe northern Honshu. And then the Americans get, you know, the south. And maybe they would have met in Tokyo. Maybe it would have been, you know, it would have split Tokyo like they split Berlin. And what kind of world, you know, would that have created? You know, we would have had a Cold War where Japan was split like that as well. And that would have been interesting. But the way it went was Truman, he dropped one on Hiroshima and he dropped one on Nagasaki. And he killed a couple hundred thousand people plus, you know, over 200,000 is the maximum estimate. Over 200,000 versus tens of millions dead. Tens of millions dead. Yeah. He could have dropped the bomb in Tokyo Bay. He could have dropped the bomb in the Sea of Japan. He could have dropped the bomb in, you know, outside of a city. Could have dropped it in the mountains in the Japanese Alps. Could have dropped it up in Hokkaido. Could have dropped it, you know, out in the Pacific. He could have shown the Japanese and the Soviets at the same time, look, this is what we have. This is what we have. And the next one is coming for a Japanese city. And then the next one after that is coming for Tokyo. That could have happened. Could have done that. And that's not something that people really talk about. That's not, when people bring this up, they don't really think outside of the box, you know? They just go with like, okay, a very binary choice that people see. But there are many different ways that Truman could have said, look, we have magic now that can fall from the sky. Takes one fucking plane ride. Okay? Takes one plane and a few planes to take pictures and shit. But if we needed to, it's just one plane, baby. We could fucking put this on a submarine We could throw it. We could fucking create a catapult, a giant catapult, and throw it. We could sail it. You know? Could give it to a soldier, put it on his fucking back, on a backpack, in a backpack, and walk it. Okay, walk it across the sea. Surf it, put it on a fucking paddleboard. We could do these things. Yeah. But then again, like, they wanted the war to be over. And tens of millions of people had already died all across the world. The world was at fucking war. And human life wasn't really valued like it is in different periods of time when war isn't as apparent. You know, when it's not right there in front of you, all around you. So given those circumstances, given that context, he still could have done it a different way. But he decided to hit those two cities and kill all those people. And it did win the war. The Japanese... Is this a spoiler? Is this a spoiler? Japanese surrendered, by the way. They did, and they became an American ally. A Western ally. Yes, they did. Fun stuff. Rough stuff. Fun stuff reading about it, you know, but not fun stuff if you are in those cities, if you were in the fucking war, man, if you're on a fucking ground, 1945, in that era, rough stuff, real rough stuff, not so much fun stuff, maybe some fun stuff, maybe a lot of fun stuff. For some people, but not for a lot of people. A lot of people died. Yeah. Japan won't always be an American ally. Japan will, you know, there'll be periods where it breaks, there'll be a period where it breaks away from America and the West, and it goes into a different experience. And there'll be politicians, populist politicians, that use these bombings. What fucking juicy propaganda material they are as well. It just all depends on the narrative. It all depends on the propaganda that's chosen by those in power. And, you know, the Americans were in power in Japan, and they wrote the Constitution. And then Japan became an ally, and that was carried over, and all of this thinking about how, you know, we were hit with the nukes, so we're not going to be doing any nuke stuff. We're not going to have those bombs. We don't want them. That can all be flipped very easily. It can go from, oh yes, we would never do that. We know more than anyone the effects of the effects these things can have. So no, that could switch very quickly into, these fucking pricks destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They destroyed our cities. They killed our people in a horrible, insulting, you know, way. Instantly like that. We got to do something about it. We got to do something about it. Got to get our revenge, finally. After all these years, could have our revenge. And a Japan that goes into Korea again. A Japan that goes into Siberia, Sakhalin. Fucking goes into China. Plays around again. You know, is sick of being on the home islands without the resources they feel they need, and they do need. And they decide to get them in a different way, other than they're currently getting them. Or if that's a necessity, if that becomes a necessity, then the bombings, like this whole narrative that we have here that was written by the Western allies, you know, about all of this, it goes away. It goes away, and it completely changes. and it's a very different thing. And Japan is a country that can get nuclear weapons very easily. It's a turnkey situation there. I think they could do it in months. You know, maybe a year or two or three. A few years, they could get the nukes. They have pretty much everything they need. They have the competencies to do it. They have the material to do it. And they have, despite, you know, what a lot of people think, Japan actually has a very serious military in disguise. And the military, now more than ever, is moving away from the constitutional restrictions put on it by the Americans. And Japan could... Japan's a great power. It is a great power. But it can be a superpower. It can be a superpower. And depending on how things go, Japan could again be a superpower. But part of Japan becoming a superpower, a truly independent of the United States and all of that influence that the US has there, it would need nuclear weapons. It would probably need around 1,000. I don't see for some reason, if Japan gets nuclear weapons, I don't see Japan only doing like a couple hundred, like the British, like the French, like the Chinese. Like, I don't see that. I see Japan, if they do go down the nuclear weapons path at some point, I see them trying to and successfully competing with the United States, with Russia, in terms of the numbers of warheads. I really do see that. Yeah. And look, there are many ways this century could go, and the next century after that. And at some point, Japan will change. And this period, this post-war period, will come to an end. And that's going to be an interesting time by itself. And I do think Japan will eventually get nuclear weapons. I mean, North fucking Korea has nuclear weapons. And South Korea is likely going to get them. Okay, that would solve a lot of their problems. Taiwan should get them. That would solve, you know, a lot of their problems. And Japan most likely will get them too at some point. There'll be a big change. There'll be a big change. And the propaganda will change. And the narrative will change. And they'll have those weapons. Will they still be, you know, an American ally? A Western ally? Or will they go an independent path? Well, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, let's conclude this episode by saying this. Definitively, that the nuclear attacks on Hiroshima and Nagasaki weren't strictly necessary, but a nuclear demonstration was strictly necessary. You know? And if I was in that position, maybe I nuke Tokyo and that's it, you know? Instead of, you know, doing, I'm going to do Hiroshima and then Nagasaki. Maybe I just drop 5-10 on Tokyo. Or maybe I do go with the, you know, the demonstration without actually killing anyone. It all depends. It all depends on my mood at the time. All right? Maybe I just fucking nuke Moscow as well. Maybe I'd fucking build up a couple hundred, 300-400 in a few months. Or maybe even go, maybe I'll just do a few thousand. 3,000. Maybe I'll put it into fucking overdrive and get it up into the tens of thousands. And just fucking end everything. Because it's all about my mood, man. And I feel better now than I did when I started this episode. The strawberries have fully digested. You know what this episode has been? This episode has been the tracking of strawberries digesting in my stomach. This has been the experience of strawberries digesting in my stomach. Yes, it has. Now I'm going to shave my beard later. Yes, I am. All right, this is a fun episode. Yeah, 78 years. Doesn't seem too long ago, does it? When all that happened. It really isn't too long ago. We are still living in that period of world history, of post-war history. And not until another truly global war happens, or something, you know, on that level, whatever it is, you know, we still live in that period. We live in that valley between those two peaks. All right, yeah, I'm looking forward to going to Hiroshima though, and doing that, which I will be doing on my next trip to Japan. All right, see you in the next one.